Today on Real Radio.
You see, God, 2,000 years ago, put a big comma or a pause on the prophetic calendar regarding the nation Israel. When Israel rejected Jesus Christ, it had been prophesied both by Isaiah and Jeremiah that the nation's rejection of the Messiah would send Israel to the uttermost parts of the world in the diaspora.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. We're going to be covering a whole bunch of pages today, Joshua chapter 13 through 19. Of course, this Old Testament written record is the account of Joshua leading God's people into the Promised Land. And this lesson is where the whole conquest culminates, seems to come together. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a study that's simply called The Promised Land.
Why don't you grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, listen to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. Leviticus 25, verse 23. I want you to stop here before we make our way over to Joshua. Leviticus 25, verse 23. It's a great portion of Scripture. And by the way, while you're turning there, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, Leviticus. No, I'm kidding. Just get to the start of your Bible, front there. Just quickly go past Genesis, Deuteronomy. You'll be arriving shortly at Leviticus there. I don't want you to leave today, especially if you're a visitor, thinking, well, what a political message that was. Because it's not going to be political, but it does deal with the land of Israel, which is what today? Very political. Why is that the case? Because you and I live at a time right now that God has established the regathering of the nation of Israel, and soon, and I almost want to sing it like Andre Crouch, soon and very soon, God is going to start dealing specifically with the nation of Israel again the second time, otherwise known as the 70th week of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. You see, God, 2,000 years ago, put a big comma or a pause on the prophetic calendar regarding the nation Israel. When Israel rejected Jesus Christ, it had been prophesied both by Isaiah and Jeremiah that the nation's rejection of the Messiah would send Israel to the uttermost parts of the world in the diaspora, that is the fleeing of the Jewish people because of persecution. They would be held captive, they would be many of them killed. Example, the Holocaust. God prophesied all that in advance simply because they rejected the word of the Lord. But God also promised that as he neared the end of man's time on earth, one of the prominent signs of awakening would be the reestablishment of the nation Israel. And when the nation would be reestablished, he would also send out the Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 1, and draw together his dispersed from all the nations of the world. And that's been happening since May 14th, 1948, which is the day Israel became a nation. Is everybody awake? The second time. There is no nation in the history of the world that has ever been established and then completely dissolved and dispersed throughout the world and then reestablished again, having kept all of its traditions, all of its patriarchal desires as a people coming back together, except Israel. And I know you and I can get complacent in our daily news. You know, we'll take the remote and go through the channels and Israel, 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 Jerusalem, 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 Palestine, Palestine, Palestine. Why? Because right now, you and I are living at a time that we need to wake up like never before and recognize that our Bible is talking about, and so is the news, right now talking about the importance of the land of Israel, the nation of Israel. Now, I'm going to challenge you this morning. You have either gotten your theology or your view of Israel from either CNN or the Bible. Because CNN is portraying the view that the Jews are in the occupied territory. Have you ever heard that before? That is terrible to say. It implies that the Jews are sitting on land that's not theirs. When in reality, who was it promised to first? Abraham. Who from Abraham, who was the very first, I always like to point this out to my Jewish friends, the very first Jew that ever was a Gentile. He was a Gentile. Abraham was a Gentile called out from Ur of the Chaldees in Babylon, wasn't he? And God says, I'm going to make you a Jew. Do you know what the word Jew means? Remember, you ought to know by now. The word Jew or Judy, if your name is Judy or Jude or Judah, it means one who praises the Lord. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, that he is a true Jew who has been circumcised in the inward parts of the heart, not in the external parts of the flesh, whose praise is and adoration is toward God and not toward men. So spiritually, we're all Jews in here because the word means to praise the Lord. God called Abraham and he said, this land I will give you. The only problem is there are people who came and usurped squatters' rights on that land. And Joshua has been moving into that, what, promised land to move out those who usurped authority over God's promises. Now, see, this sounds very political, doesn't it? You know, if they would just bring a CNN news crew to our church or to our house, we could straighten it out for them just fine. Because this is the Jews' land. Well, watch this. More than the Jews. Look at Leviticus 25, verse 23. God says, the land shall not be sold permanently. I think we ought to email that to the new prime minister of Israel. The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is, what does that say? Yeah, capital M, mine. God speaking. The land is mine. Does anybody have the right to sell it? No. How about this? Does anybody have the right to give it away? No. Why? In their own scriptures, we can email to Israel today, don't give the land away. In fact, you're not even supposed to sell it. I find this kind of funny. I don't think God ever would have thought that they'd give it away. I mean, if they're really Jewish people, they would have, you know. We got such a deal for you. Well, God says, look, I know how you guys are. Don't even sell it. And the unthinkable is happening. Israel as a nation today voted in a new prime minister. Why? Because Benjamin Netanyahu said, no way are we going to give land away. And we're not going to sell it either. This is the land that God has given us and we're going to hang on to it. And the people of Israel voted Netanyahu out and Barak in because Barak said, let's give our land away to our enemies and they will no longer attack us and we'll have peace. Do you believe that? Come on. I like what Menachem Begin said years ago. Now remember, I'm a news freak. I saw this broadcast, never forgotten it. He goes, Menachem Begin, the little humble man that he was, he said, there is no international guarantee that can guarantee any of these guarantees. And that's true. You cannot come to an agreement on this globe without somebody trying to manipulate that agreement and how they can overcome you. The Bible says once Israel has been brought back into the land, that's prophecy being fulfilled. God says, my people shall never again be uprooted. That's prophecy being maintained. They may give away land, but Israel will not be uprooted from their land. This is a fact. Sounds political. Just deal with it. It's Bible. Why? Because right now, if you turn to Joshua 13, we are talking about political issues here thousands of years ago. Now, Joshua has conquered the land of Israel, and now it's time to divvy up the land to the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. And there's going to be an allotment made. And so, by nature of this portion of Scripture, we will actually, I know you're going to find this highly impossible, but we're going to go from chapter 13 to chapter 19 this morning. Because, no, I know. But we're only going to I'm going to comment on a couple of chapters because they're just so, you can read them later. It's kind of like reading instructions, which we should always read. but don't often read. It's very tedious, but you can read them. There's a lot of names, and it's just simply the specifics regarding the allotments of the land. So we're going to touch on a couple of the high points. First of all, Joshua 13, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, 'You are old and advanced in years.'" "And there remains very much land yet to be possessed. This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines," or Palestine, "and all that of the Geshurites," the land of Canaan, Canaan's land, the promised land. So Joshua now is old, and I want you to get this in your mind's eye. He's an old guy, but he's a mighty guy. He's a guy that's had God's authority on his shoulders throughout the years. He started with Moses from Egypt. He saw the 40-year wanderings of the rebellious ones who had come out of Egypt, and he and a few others lived through that time because what? The unbelieving children of Israel perished in the wilderness. Why? Because of their unbelief, they were not granted the rights or the privilege to come into the promised land. But their children were promised, as they were, but given the opportunity to come into the promised land, thus the book of Joshua. But Joshua was old and advanced in years. But he's got a sidekick that might come to your mind here very soon. This man, Joshua, and his friend, many, many years ago, some 45 years earlier, were dispatched by Moses and a few other men, 10 others to be exact, 12 of them as spies, remember, to go in and spy out the promised land. And they all came back, but two of them had a favorable report. You know who they were, don't you? Joshua and who? Caleb. In fact, if you go to Israel today, interesting symbol of the Ministry of Tourism. You know what the Ministry of, I like the way they think. The 12 spies went on a little tourism a long time ago. Two of them came back with a good report. 10 of them didn't. So what did the nation of Israel use as a sign of the Ministry of Tourism? They've got Joshua and Caleb holding a stake on their shoulders, and in between is a huge cluster of grapes, because that's what they brought back out of the promised land. The 10 other witnesses said, "There's giants in the land. They're going to consume us. No way should we go there. It's terrible." But Joshua and Caleb said, "Yeah, that's right, there's giants in the land. Let's whip them. And let's go take it, because it's a land flowing with milk and honey." That was Joshua and Caleb. Strong guys, old guys. In their old age, God was using them still. We're going to see how so in a moment. But when do Christians retire? Think about it. Yeah, if you work for IBM, there's going to be a day that you hope to retire. If you work for the county or for the city, there's a day that you hope to retire. Or if you're independent, whatever, you're putting money aside, you hope to retire someday. And that's fine, and so we should do that. But as a Christian, when do we retire? When do we hang up our Bible and our concordance? I'm retired now. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit working in the lives of Christians is that when many Christians retire, that's when God starts to use them the most. Well, we've got time, and God begins to use them. But he doesn't have to wait to use you at that time. He can use you all the way through. Someone told me last service, they said, "You know, when Christians retire is when they expire." I like that. Somebody asked Billy Graham, "When are you going to retire?" And basically his response was, "When I expire." Isn't that great? When you just can't go anymore. Joshua and Caleb, we'll read about them this morning. Joshua is old, he's advanced in years, and the land now has been subdued, and it's a time now to allocate the land. And so I just have you look at the first two verses of Joshua 13, because the rest of it goes on of this chapter to simply describe the allocation or the preparation of the allocation of land to the children of Israel. Look at chapter 14 with me. Now we see the division of Canaan. In the first five verses, there's the introduction to this, and it says, "These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan." Notice the word is inherited. Can you mark that down in your Bible? Circle it if you would. The word in Hebrew means to be given to them. It's given to them. And God says, "I gave you the land." Well, wait a minute, Jack. I thought they went to battle over it. They did go to battle. Christian, listen up. We are called to go to battle. We're called to show up. Can you show up? We can show up. If we show up to the battle, guess what God has promised? To give us the victory. Why? He does the warring. He does the work. He delivers it as an inheritance. You don't work for an inheritance, Christian. You simply belong to the family. My sister, my brother, and I, we had a long removed, this sounds like a story, we had a long removed uncle that lived in South America. And according to his will, he was to be dead for 100 years, and then his will was to be opened up. Because he couldn't stand his family. And it was in the late 80s, I think it was, when we found out that when this will was opened up, this guy left tens of millions of dollars to the family that he had never seen. So we get this, you know, thing in the mail. Well, you had this uncle. You know, sounds like a story. These things where, what did we do to earn such a thing? Or what is it that we're allocated to this? Nothing. It's in the line. If you are, listen, born again into the family of God, then you are receiving the inheritance that Christ has purchased for us on the cross for all eternity. Listen, Christian, those of you who struggle with your worthiness as a Christian, let me help you out right now. I've tried real hard to be worthy of God's love. Forget it. He loves you because you're in the family. He has received you because of what Jesus has done, not what you do. You're born into the family. Oh, if I can just, you know, work at being your son or work at being your daughter or work at being... No, it doesn't work that way. You're born into it. Born by the Spirit of God. Joshua and Caleb are these examples. The children of Israel are the examples of God's promise made years and years and years earlier to a man by the name of Abraham. And it says, beginning at verse 6, chapter 14, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. Remember Gilgal? And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, now this is Caleb, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea, way back. I'm sorry, I've got to pause here and read and just bring this in. We're going to find out in a moment. Caleb's 85 years old. Joshua is 80 plus. Can you imagine these two guys? Hey, Joshua. Caleb, brother, how are you? Little high five. You know? Hey, watch out. They had been the guys from the very beginning. All these young soldiers, they're around them. Can you imagine Joshua and Caleb getting together, campfires in Gilgal after the victories at Ai and these other places, talking to them? I'll tell you what it's like to be a soldier. We were soldiers in those days. We had to go to war, you know, in the snow and walk 10 miles, you know. Joshua and Caleb, old believers. Caleb, now we hear from him. The land's been subdued, but he says, okay, listen up, this is the deal. I remember when we were with Moses in Kadesh Barnea, remember that, when we found out about the promised land? Verse 8, he says, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. That's the 10 other guys. But wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's, plural, forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, verse 10, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, so that's 85 years of age, ever since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while in Israel, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and how here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, it kind of sounds like he's kind of tooting his own horn there for a minute, didn't he? I don't think so. This guy had learned how to walk in the fear of God. This guy is giving glory and honor to God. 85 years old. He says, I'm just as strong now as I was then. And you know what? I don't think he's lying. I think he's telling the truth. Why? How can this be? Have you noticed how when we were younger, we would do insane things, chase cars or whatever we did as young people, jump off of buildings, jump, you know, stupid things. And we were like made out of rubber. We were like Gumby. And it didn't hurt. Nothing would break. And if it broke, it would be fixed in a week. It's okay. Now you get older and it's like, oh. I have to walk over there. Can we park a little closer to the front of the store? Now, I love to water ski, and I think when you water ski, you use every muscle in your body. Why? Because I feel like I use every muscle in my body. But yesterday, we had some 60 kids, and many of us took the youth down, and they had their surfing day at the beach yesterday. Well, you know, my fingers are sore. I got up this morning going, ow, ow. What is this? These bodies are just giving out. Caleb goes, what's wrong with you? I'm 85 years old. I'm ready to go in or come out to go to war, whatever. How does that happen? You know what? I got to tell you. When you and I serve the Lord, supernatural grace comes and holds us up and keeps us going. It's divine. It's bizarre. It's God's grace. Many of you have been to foreign countries on short-term mission trips. You get on a plane, you fly sometimes 10, 9, 10, 11, 12-hour time zone changes. When your body says to go to sleep, it's time to get up. You're all twisted around, and yet you go out on the streets, and for hours, you're leading people to Christ, or you're doing your skits or drama or music, and you're wondering, it's a marvel, how am I going? How can I keep going? There's this grace that God deposits in the life of every believer who steps out and determines, I want to be used by God. He does this. You can be so tired in your normal day-to-day living, but the moment you step out in faith, God gives you special energy. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, what did he say? Lose it. He said, if you want to protect your life, give up your life. You and I will never know what that's like until we do it. You and I will never know what it's like to be a Caleb and a Joshua until we say, Lord, whatever I am and whatever you can use, so use. Lord, use Jack and me, this church, us, to do a radical work, exclamation point. That's my prayer request for you to pray for my life, for this church.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study quite simply called The Promised Land. It's a look at a large portion of Joshua, chapters 13 through 19, where the conquest of Joshua and God's people finally culminates. The Promised Land. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating look at this historical Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that Real Radio's Book of the Month for August is Charles Ryrie's Balancing the Christian Life. Now, each month, Pastor Jack personally selects a book that he thinks will be valuable in your spiritual growth as a believer, and this one really truly is one of those books. The title alone gives us a good idea what's inside the book, Balancing the Christian Life by Charles Ryrie. Visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click the button on the right that says Resource Center, and that's where you'll find the Real Radio Book of the Month, realradioactive.org. Or give us a phone call if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.